How are we doing, Sean? Got it? All right. Get this hooked back up. Gotta remember where I'm at. So I was working last night on preparing for today. Earlier in the day, I'd sent Peter the verses, and I just did 24 through 28. And as I was working through it last night, started thinking about like what was going on right before Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. And as I was thinking about that, Jesus, he just got done telling the disciples about his coming death and resurrection. And Peter, being Peter, basically he's like, well, you know, I can't be Lord. That's not what it is. And Christ comes back and he tells Peter, he says, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And I was really thinking about that last night, and like where we get into trouble a lot of the time is that we think like a man. We don't think how God wants us to speak or think. And a friend that, as he is being mentored as a pastor, he says he'd be talking about his plans with his mentor and telling like, well, this is how we're supposed to grow the church and this is what we're supposed to do. And Pastor Leroy would be like, knock it off. Stop thinking like a man. Like, knock it off. And he's like, yeah, but I got to take care of my family. I got to do this. And I got to do that. And he's like, no, knock it off. Stop thinking like a man. And Steph and I, the last couple of weeks, we've been working on our application for Village Missions. And I find myself, as we work through that application, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, and this is on the tail end of 2 years of preparation, 2 years of us getting ready to be able to fill out this application. We've been looking forward to it. We've been wanting this day to come. But push comes to shove. I sit down and I start working on this application. I'm like, why am I doing this? Why? Why am I doing this? And I think about it. I'm like, man, this is going to change everything. This is going to change everything for Steph and I. It's going to change everything for our kids, my in-laws, the family farm, like all of this. I'm like, why am I doing this? And anyways, and also the application is flat miserable. Like, it was the hardest application I've ever filled out. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, there's so many other things I could be doing right now. And throughout that whole process, I just kept hearing, follow me. And like, am I going to follow what the world and what Rick thinks is best for my life? Or am I going to follow Christ and what he wants us to do? And so, we got the application done. We got it in. We sent it in. Big sigh of relief. And it was that continue, like, are you going to follow me? And I started thinking about that. I was like, you know, why? Why do we follow Christ? You know, at the end of the day, as believers, like, we follow. But why? Why do we do it? To the non-believer, like, why would we say that we follow? And this last week, after we got the application done, we were able to get out of town. And we were able to spend some time with Steph's parents. And Steph and I, we've been together for like a little over 20 years between dating and marriage. And this is the first time that I ever went on vacation with my in-laws. And some of you are like, how did you manage that? How did you get going? And it's like, but it was great. Like, I've worked with my in-laws and it's been great. And like, we actually got to spend some time not working, like just being and just being with them. And so like just to get to hang out with them. And what's interesting is like when you go hang out with somebody in an environment that You usually don't hang out with them. You get to find out different things about them. And my father-in-law, great guy. And on the farm, he has a set schedule. I mean, you know what's going on. If you see him walking out of the woodshed in the morning, you know it's 9:30 because breakfast is over and it's time to go feed the calf barn. It's like if you see him walking by the fuel tank in the afternoon, headed towards the milking parlor, you can pretty much set your watch. It's 2:25 because he's on his way to the milking parlor to start the afternoon milking. It's like, here's this guy, like I've known him for over 20 years now. It's like, man, this guy has a routine. He likes the things done a certain way. Like, he just does this thing. We get on vacation, though, find out he still has his routines and stuff. But he's like, he doesn't ever want to go on the same road twice. Like, he's like, well, we've been there. We've gone down that road. Let's try a different road. And like, we've gone up to Baker City, and he's like, why are we going the same way? And I'm like, I don't know. We're going the same way. And so we're getting ready to leave to come home. And I told Steph we're going a different way. And not because of my father-in-law. It was because I didn't want to hit I-84 and 205 traffic at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But my father-in-law's like, good, you guys are going a different way. He's excited. He's like, on your way home, you need to make sure and swing in and see the Painted Hills in John Day. And that had been something that we'd wanted to see for a long time. And as I thought about that, as we were going in there, those Painted Hills, and as we went in to look, like I just kept hearing those words, follow me. Why do we follow? Why do we follow Christ? And as we drove in there, and we're headed in there, and Aiden's like, man, I can't wait to get in there and see these hills that God has painted. And I'm like, I'm right there with you, buddy. He's just excited to see this work. And I think about, you know, why do we follow? Why do we follow him? And I think for starters, just begin in the beginning at Genesis 1. Why do we follow? And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we went in to see the Painted Hills, like his workmanship, what he's done, like, was just on display in a way that I've never seen before. And what's interesting is that as you walk around, the scientists, they've put up all these displays to explain to you how the hills were created. And what's interesting is you go around and they've got like these displays. And so there's red and there's green and purple and like everything's done at a certain layer. And they're like, well, we know that this was done at this time and this was done at this time because of this climate and all this. And they've got this timeline. And they've got it all laid out, and they have this timeline. And like, you look at it, and you're like, okay, I can come along with this. But then all the red's supposed to be down here. And then you go down the road, and you go around this corner, and you've got all these colors. You got red, green, purple. And all of a sudden, there's just this brush stroke of red right across the hillside. And you're like, hey, guys, your timeline's broken. Like, you know, it's broken. And it's like, well, yeah, environment may have played a part in that, but like God created. And the beauty in that is that when we say God created, there in Genesis 1, it's the Godhead. It's not just God the Father, but it's Christ and it's the Holy Spirit. Like everything is present there. So it's like when we think about like, why do we follow Christ? Because Christ was there in the beginning. He's the one that created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that created where we're at now in our life. And as we continue along in Genesis 1, 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Like, why do we follow? He created the heavens and the earth. He created us. And I said, we all know the story. We know what happens here in Genesis. And then Genesis 2, 15 says, the Lord took man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It's like, God, we're without sin there. But God's like giving us instructions. Next thing we know, the serpent enters the garden, chapter 3. And he says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths. God created heavens and earth. He created us. But we messed it up. We messed it up in disobeying what he told us not to do. And we see that play out here in Genesis. It's like, why do we follow Christ? It's because Christ, we need him. We need him because of what happened in the garden. And God goes through and he comes and he sees Adam and Eve and he talks with them and he tells the serpent what's going to happen to the serpent and he tells Eve what's going to happen to her and same with Adam. And then in verse 20 of chapter 3 says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. It's like here we see God, all this creating. We messed everything up. God's relationship with God is now severed. But even in that, God is taking care of Adam and Eve. He's covering them while he pushes them out out of the Garden of Eden. And, so it's like, why do we follow Christ? And it's because of the sin that entered the world there at the fall. And if we turn to Romans 5:12, we're going to spend not the whole morning in Romans, but spend a little bit. Romans 5:12. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Like, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and we share that with them. But the only way that can be fixed or corrected is through Christ Jesus. And then go back a couple pages, Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Like, that's where we're at. But we read everything that's going on there. It says, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We follow him because we need him. Apart from him, we can't do it. We can't do it. And then Romans 6:23. This will be the last one in Romans. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. It's a free gift. It's we don't have to do anything for it. Christ did the work for us. Like, the one that was there in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth, created us. We messed it up. He's like, hey, if you believe in me, you have this free gift of eternal life. And I think sometimes, like we can get all that. We can know that, you know, Christ died on the cross for us, and we can know that. But I think sometimes it's easy to get busy with life and forget. But it's just Christ dying on the cross. Like it's throughout the whole Bible. Like, I mean, it's just the theme from beginning to end. Like, he is there for us. Galatians 1:3 says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Like, we follow Christ. Like, he says he gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the evil. Like, we follow. Like, that, we follow, because he delivers us. First Peter 2:22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It's like we have a good shepherd calling to us, saying, follow me. It's like, why? Why do we follow? It's by his wounds we have been healed. He bore our sins. It's nothing that we did. It's all on him. And, you know, this section in Matthew, there's a lot going on there. You know, there's follow me, pick up your cross, all of that. And then, I mean, he goes on, and we're not going to attempt to cover all that in 5 minutes. Pastor Tim's like, no, come on, go for it. Nah, it's getting a little warm up here. But follow me. You know, we all, like, for those of us that believe in Christ, like, hey, it's good to just, from time to time, stop and remember what it is that Christ did for us. Like, we know it. We can say it. We can, you know, yeah, we can sing about it. But to actually stop and think, like, man, because of him, I'm healed. But, like, what does that mean? What's that mean to follow him? And he says, there he says in Matthew, he says, there he says, pick up your cross. And this morning in Sunday school, we were talking about persecution. And, you know, I don't know if anybody likes to talk about persecution. But when he talks about pick up your cross, there's the idea of being inconvenienced. Are we willing to be inconvenienced to follow Christ? Like, are we willing? That's the question Steph and I are asking a lot lately. Like, to follow him is an inconvenience. But it's an inconvenience that we do because of what he did for us. You know, what does inconvenience look like? Maybe it's giving up your Tuesday to go help John and Barb drive a school bus around and teach 100 kids at the Silverton School District about God's word, about what Christ did for them on the cross. Like, right now, state of Oregon says that we can walk into a public school or come up next to a public school. We can't walk into the public school, but we can show up and we can invite those kids out to that school bus, and we can actually spend a half hour with them, loving them and reading God's word to them and telling them what they have in Christ. So maybe take up the cross might be the inconvenience of giving up a Tuesday and hanging out with John. But it's great. So, you know, for you guys over here, take up your cross might be 5 minutes less playing computer games so you can pray for your two friends here that are getting ready to head out on a missionary journey with their mom and dad. It looks different for all of us. It's like, what does it look like? What is something that's an inconvenience to me? But, like, you know what? man, I really want to play this, but I know my brothers in Christ, Maxon and Aiden, are headed out on a new adventure. So I'm going to take some time and I'm going to pray for them. Maybe taking up your cross is the inconvenience of going through an adoption process. Be like, you know what? We have the space, we have the resources, we have the opportunity, and then God's pressed it on us that we're going to adopt a child and that we're going to be able to show the love of Christ with him. And so I just want to ask, you know, like what does pick up our cross look like? And it's going to look different for every one of us, every one of us. And so for those that believe, that's, you know, ask yourself, why do I follow? Remember, why do we follow? We follow because of what he did for us on the cross. And then for those that may not have yet come to that saving knowledge of their need for a Savior, contemplate, think about the scriptures, think about the painted hills in John Day that testify to God. Think about that, like, this didn't all happen by chance, that there was a purpose, and there was something going on here. Like, God created, and he provided a way for us to have everlasting life through him. And we tried messing that up, but God, he had a far, far better plan than we ever could. And like, for us to have eternal life in Christ comes through us believing that Christ died on the cross for our sins. It's like, so, I can't convince you of that. And I know full well that I can't convince you that he did it. That's between you and him. And when today we witness the baptism of Jesse, and I've gone back, and Pastor Tim's like, at some point you're going to have to do an evangelistic sermon, and you're going to have to do an altar call. And Jesse one night responds to Christ. And I go back and I look, I'm like, all right, I've got this sermon figured out. I'm just going to use what I did for Jesse. And I go back and I look at that scripture, and I'm like, what? What happened there? Why did she respond? Like, I've gone back and I've looked at it, and I'm like, I have absolutely no idea how I could turn that into a sermon, what happened that night. But it's God's word. God's word being proclaimed. And I don't have any swords, so it's not as exciting as when Pastor Tim did it. But just Hebrews 4:12. He says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the hearts, the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Like, if you're still resistant, if you're still hesitant about whether to follow Christ or not, when you walk out these doors, look out, look at his creation and contemplate, like, did this happen by chance? But also, look in his word. See what it says. Because that, the truth that we find, the truth that we have in Christ can be found in here. And so, this morning, part of following Christ is that we get to come to the table and we get to take communion. And we do this in remembrance of what he did for us on the cross. This is why we come. And so now we get to partake in that. And yeah, so it's not just for members of the church, it's for those that believe in Christ and that he died on the cross for their sins. And if the deacons would come forward at this time, or this, I got all kinds of help this morning. Oh, all right, we got. All right. There you guys go. All right. And Dan, if you'd pray.
Heavenly Father, we come this morning to remember, to try very hard to remember how you willingly gave your body for us. And we just pray that we will do that as we share in this time together here. In Jesus' name, amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Yes, the blessing, Pastor Tim.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to remember the shedding of your blood, the blood that was given that we would have forgiveness for our sins. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us, as we consider this, would be truly thankful for your love, for the blessing that it is to know that our sins have been washed away through the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in his name.
In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that we have the opportunity to come together as a body to partake in your supper. And we just thank you so much for your sacrifice and what this supper means to us. In Jesus' name, amen.